Dear Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, we stand amazed at what you have accomplished, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for your death for us. Thank you for living for us. Thank you for rising from the dead for us, for this world, Lord God. And we ask that everything that you want to do in the lives of your people, your church, Lord, we ask that you will glorify yourself. And we ask that you would empower each and every person in this room who has never done street ministry before, who has never stepped out to share the gospel. Father, I pray that you would do what only you can do, Father God. And I ask that you would empower me to share what you have to say. But I ask you, Lord, to move behind the scenes, empower and encourage, Lord, strengthen us in our stance. Even me, Lord. Lord, I need your help every step of the way. I need more of your grace. So I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Father. Thank you for the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So welcome to Back to the Basics. My name is Darius White. I am a street minister. Most more importantly, I am a husband and a father. And I'm a husband to Nakia. She's my wife. We've been married almost 5 years. And I have 3 kids. A 12-year-old boy, a 3-year-old boy, and a 1-year-old girl. I love them very much. And I work at the ReStore. I'm a truck driver. I do a lot of pickups. And I've been doing street ministry since I became a Christian, which was in 2008, and I haven't stopped since by the grace of God, and I plan on keep on going. And right now I'm in a commissioned pastor program class. I'm trying to become a pastor, and so that's pretty cool because I'm an evangelist, but I'm learning to be a pastor, which is pretty cool. So how many of you are new to Jesus Loves Calvin Zoo? Awesome. Okay. So I want to make sure, and we want to make sure that by the end of this class, you will be encouraged about stepping out, sharing Jesus to people. And we'll be covering 4 topics during this 40-minute lesson. And so these are the 4 topics that we're going to talk about today. Okay. First topic we're going to talk about is, what is the gospel? Do's and don'ts of street ministry, how to engage in conversation, and how to lead someone to Christ, okay? And so you can take notes on the Back to the Basics verse sheet that has been given to you, so you can follow everything that we're going to be talking about today, okay? So when you get home, make sure you look this over. So you can use this sheet for further study. So if you don't get everything right now, you know, just make sure you fill in the blanks. If you don't get any blanks filled out, holler at me, and I'll make sure you get them. So the first topic, everybody have a pen? The first topic is, what is the gospel? And so the gospel is the story of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Okay? So the gospel is the story of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And so the gospel is also about what Jesus has done for the world. Okay? The gospel is a message that demands a response. So this message that we're preaching, okay, the message that Jesus told us to preach, it demands a response. His death, burial, and resurrection demands a response. And it is a response of faith or denial. So people have a choice to believe it or to say, no, I don't want it. Okay? So the word gospel means good news. Okay? This is really good news that we're talking about right now. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? And it's really good news to those who hear it. And sometimes it's bad news to people who hear it. So let's take a good look at 1 Corinthians 15:1-7. We want to see what the scriptures define the gospel as being, okay? Because a lot of people, they saying what the gospel is, and we need to see what the word of God has to say about the gospel. Amen? So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15:1-7. It says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Are you taking your stand on the gospel? Take your stand on it. Okay? By this gospel, you are saved. So we see that through this story, we are saved. If you hold firmly to the word, I preach you. That's a big if. Okay? Hold firm to this gospel. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 7. So we see that the gospel has elements of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, how he appeared to the apostles, how he appeared to all his friends. Okay, and this gospel is what was revealed to Paul and to the apostles, so it's been revealed to us. So we will not be reading every scripture reference today. We're going to read a whole lot of scripture. And there's a whole lot of scripture for you to read at home, but we just don't have the time to read them. So you can look at the scripture and make sure that I'm not a false teacher. You can test everything that I'm saying, because everything I try to say is in the scriptures. Amen? Bless the Lord. So please take time to read these scriptures at home for further study, okay? So, because we have a lot of topics, basically. Okay, so here's a fundamental look at the gospel. We want to get into the foundational truth of the gospel and what it is. Okay, number one is that God came to earth fully God and fully man. Jesus came to earth fully God, fully man. That is very good news. Okay, two, he did signs, miracles, and wonders. Okay, so he did stuff that pointed to something. Pointing to a greater truth. He did stuff that only God can do, okay? That only something like that something powerful, okay? And he did one of the stuff that made people go, wow. Okay? So he healed the deaf, the dumb, which basically means people can't hear or see, the blind, or probably can't even talk. The blind, the sick, the paralyzed, the demon possessed, and raised the dead. And he healed people who have severe pain too. That's one thing I got to put on there. Okay, so he called people, three, he called people to repent from rebellion against God to acceptance of his will and lordship. So I have Luke 5:32 as an example. It says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus called people from living a life of rebellion against God to living for God and agreeing with God. So 4 says that he never sinned. Jesus Christ never sinned, not one time. Even some of the things that we consider harsh, not sin, because he is love. Okay? You can say the hardest things because he's God and he knows. He was fired, he was killed, crucified, died. Okay? 6, he died for our sins. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? 7, he was buried. Jesus was dead in a grave for 3 days. Okay? Undisturbed. Nobody could get to him. He was raised from the dead after 3 days. Okay? So Jesus came back to life after 3 days. Very fundamental to our faith. 9, he appeared to his disciples. We saw that in 1 Corinthians, that he appeared to Cephas and to the brothers. 10, he ascended into heaven at God's right hand. He didn't have a jetpack. He wasn't in an airplane. He went straight up, okay, into the air to be with the Father, straight to heaven. And then 11, he is coming back and will judge the living and the dead. You guys good? Okay, you can look at all those scripture references when you get home. What does this mean? All these things I just said, these fundamentals, him raising from the dead, him calling people to repentance, him doing signs, miracles, and wonders, this gospel is what Jesus calls us to spread. All those elements of who Jesus is and who Jesus was, okay? Anyone can become part of God's family by turning from rebellion against God to Jesus and his forgiveness. Anybody. Anyone. Okay? And that's good news. Okay? You don't got to pay your tithe to get in. Okay? You've got to accept Jesus. All right? We can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is what this means. Okay? That relationship will grow into us reflecting Him. That's His plan. He wants us to reflect Him. We will begin to love the things He loves and hate the things that He hates. But we'll have His heart towards sin. Okay? God hated sin so much that He sent His Son so that we can have life. Okay? We will begin to love the things He loves and hate the things He hates. Amen? The gospel will bear fruit when people actually believe it. So you got to actually believe this gospel. Okay? So the gospel will bear fruit when people actually believe. You got to actually believe in what the gospel says. That's when it bears fruit. Okay? It will transform hearts and lives. We're here today because of this gospel. Okay? It is truly awesome. This is what the apostles died for. They said, no, we will not bow down to you. I'll crucify you upside down. I'm not even worried they're hanging on the cross. This is what Peter was saying. We must remain consistent with this message. This message is what Jesus and the apostles suffered for in our early Christian ancestors. They suffered for this. Okay? So, ready for the next topic? Street ministry do's and don'ts. In Matthew 10:16-17, Jesus tells His disciples, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. Okay? While we are out on street ministry, JLK cannot, okay, guarantee anyone's safety. So we see Jesus right here. He's saying, look, be innocent as doves, but be wise as snakes. He said, be on your guard against men. Be aware of what's going on around you. Okay? Everybody don't love you. Okay? You're supposed to love everybody, but everybody not going to love you. Especially with this gospel. Matthew 10:27-31, it says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. Open your mouth and say it. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roof. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, people say, don't be afraid of God. No, no. God is holy. Okay? God can do, He can turn us into dust if He wants to. So, the scripture is saying, be afraid. Don't, if you don't be afraid of anybody, be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of them. Okay? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So God cares for us. He knows when we step out there that He knows what's going to happen. We just trust Him. Okay? He warns us also that we will be persecuted because of Him. People are probably not going to like us because of this gospel I just shared with you earlier. Matthew 5:11-12 says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of who? Because of me. Not because we a jerk, not because we being mean and over-talking people and just, you know, not being rude, but because of Him. Rejoice and be glad. Ooh, we're supposed to rejoice. When people insult us, persecute us, and falsely say all kinds of evil against us because of Him, we're supposed to be rejoicing and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you. So we get to suffer with the prophets. Wow. That's what I'm thinking about. These do's and don'ts help us all to be wise as snakes while on the street and innocent like doves. Okay, so, yeah. So here are some do's and don'ts for street ministry. Okay, you ready? Don't give out telephone numbers. Okay, address to any other person information. Just don't give it out. You don't want them at your house. Don't give them your address. You don't want them calling. Don't give them your phone number. JLK365 will take care of that. Okay. Don't assume that the people are poor or that their life is bad. Okay. Some people enjoy living in their sin or living their life. Some people enjoy it. You know, and, you know, some people have a good life. Okay, some people actually do believe in Jesus out here. They might think they believe in Jesus. I don't know. Okay? So don't assume people are poor or that their life is bad. Don't give out any money. Okay? Don't give out any money. don't go out or away by yourself. So if somebody is like, hey, can I get $1? I got it. You can read that scripture reference right there for what Peter said. This might want some money, okay? Don't go out or away by yourself. Just stay with your group. Go 2 by 2. That's how Jesus sent us out, okay? Don't let anyone use your cell phone, okay? Just leave it in the car if you need to. Leave it in your trunk. Don't bring out anything that you value. Because, like I said, we can't guarantee anybody's safety. I don't know. We just go out and pray, okay? Do ask questions and ask for permission for everything. So don't be, you know, if you're about to pray somebody, please don't lay your hand on their head without asking them, okay? You know, be like, can I lay my hand on their head? If they say no, can I lay my hand on the shoulder? If they say no, can I just pray for you? Yeah. All right, so just ask for permission, okay? Do be pleasant, polite, friendly, and personable. Don't be afraid to introduce yourself. Lord, just be you in Christ. Love people, okay? Do love the people who are not yet a people but will be a people. That's why we go out, because these people might possibly convert to Christ because of our love for them and because of his love shining through us, right? Because really, it's his love shining through us. Amen? 4, do show respect. Respect these people. Okay? I think that's pretty much it. Like, don't treat them like they got a disease, like they got leprosy. Because Jesus loved those people too. He touched them. Okay? Do talk with people, but be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. So, you know, just you know, it's good to even just listen to them. You know, and just ask the Holy Spirit to lead the conversation and wait for what to say. Do watch and pray. Don't be afraid to open your eyes and look around while praying. So you ain't always got to close your eyes when you're praying. You can look up and, yes, Lord, amen. Right? Next topic. Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is the outreach bag, right? So as you go out, your challenge, you're going to have different items in here. Like this is like a little street ministry tip thing. And this right here, this is basically explaining the gospel. Okay, if you don't know how to teach gospel, this helps you understand what it is. A little Bible. And then here are the connection cards right here. So these are for follow-up. You know, make sure you print their name out legibly and get like a second number, because sometimes people's phones just, I don't know, they just don't, you can't connect to them sometimes. Sometimes people's phones go out. And it says request, prayer, desire to find the church. Make sure you ask all those questions, okay? And, you know, get to know people, too, before you have them fill that out. Like, don't be in such a rush to have them fill this out. And there's just different stuff in here, like little wristbands and just stuff to give out to the kids and to people. You know, I've seen people with a wristband on in public in certain places. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So make sure you give that out. This bag will be available during Calvary's week, okay? And, yeah. So, next topic. How to engage in conversation. You ready? God desires for us to engage in conversation about who he is, and we are to do it in gentleness and respect, okay? So God wants us to talk to people, but we got to be gentle, okay? We have to be gentle, and we have to show respect. I pretty much talked about that earlier. So Jesus Christ engaged in conversation in the scripture, so we're going to look at his example, okay, how he talked to people. That's basically what I'm saying, how to talk to people. John 4:16-26. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. My ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. So if you want to go look back at chapter 4, this is Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. Really deep conversation, okay? You just let the Holy Spirit lead him in that conversation. And so we can look at the Lord's conversation with the Samaritan woman and learn how to apply it to how we should engage in conversation, because we have the scriptures as an example, okay? So the first thing we see in this conversation with the Samaritan woman is that he expressed that he is human. You know, earlier in that chapter, he expressed that he was thirsty, okay? It's okay that you got problems, okay? I mean, don't overwhelm them with your problems, you know, because really it's about them, okay? And he broke religious boundaries with love, you know. Jews did not hang out with Samaritans, okay? It was just something that was what they agreed on doing, okay? He treated her with kindness, okay? He wasn't mean to her. Even though he knew all her business, he was nice to her, okay? He didn't rush in about who he was. You know, we see at the very end, that's when he showed who he was, okay? We don't always have to tell people off the bat that we're a Christian. Sometimes you just figure it out, you know, as you talk about the Lord to them, as you love them and listen to them, okay? He didn't judge her. He knew her lifestyle. He knew what she was doing, that she was staying with her boyfriend in the house, and, you know, that's not okay to live with a man that you're not married to. Jesus knew all that stuff, but he didn't judge her. Okay? He shared prophetic insights to encourage, not shame. You know, God's not going to give us, you know, you're going to learn in the next class downstairs how to hear words from God. God will never give you a word to shame somebody. Okay? The Holy Spirit will convict. The Holy Spirit will not shame. Okay? And so, he shared prophetic insights to encourage, not shame. He showed concern for her personal lifestyle, both spiritual and physical. He cared about what she was doing with her, with this man. And he cared about the man, because he said, bring him with you. And then he cared about how she worshiped. He said, look, we're not going to worship with a mountain or in Jerusalem. We're going to worship him in the spirit. We're going to worship him in our heart. So let's look at this. People must know that we care. That's so important. People must know that we care about them. Okay? And asking and remembering people's names helps show that we care. Okay? And so having conversations doesn't always lead to conversions. We are not art van salesmen or saleswomen. You know, we're not on commission. We don't get brownie points from the Lord when we bring somebody to Christ. Okay? We don't get 20, I mean, we probably do, but we probably won't manifest here. But, you know, we don't have to be so quick to convert somebody. Okay? And don't be afraid to be sympathetic. Like, it's okay to be like, man, that's messed up. Like, your kid just died. That's messed up. Your husband beat you. Or, you know, you lost your job or your car. You got a car accident and you can't get away. You got to hit the bus now. That's messed up. You know, feel their pain with them, you know. And repeating back to them what they are saying shows how much we care as well. Like, you lost your mom. Hey, you lost your mom. You know, ask questions about things like family, job, finances, hobbies, and et cetera. Like, get to know them. Ask them when last time they went to the movies. You know, you can just have conversation. Eventually, they're going to soften up. Okay? So, more listening, less talking. If you can get them to talk and you just be quiet, that's beneficial. Okay? And ask the Lord to guide your conversation. Ask the Lord to guide the conversation in your heart. Be like, Holy Spirit, you direct the conversation towards you. I ain't going to force it, but direct it towards you. Or, you know, ask the Lord when you should share Christ. You know, but don't be in a rush, because Jesus wasn't in a rush. Okay? But he also talked about himself in third person when he was like, the Son of Man. He the Son of Man, right? And he's like, who's the Son of Man? I've been talking to you this whole time. Ask the Lord to guide your conversation, and the goal is to be a testimony for Jesus, not their Savior. And that's very important. Okay, we're not saving nobody. Okay, we are here to be a living message for our King Jesus. We show people that Jesus lives inside of us and that he is real by how we live. And that leads to this topic, how to lead someone to Christ. Okay, leading someone to Christ can be an amazing experience. The Lord Jesus has commanded us to preach the good news, as you heard earlier, and to make disciples. That's what he told us. He said, for instance, tell people this gospel story, live this gospel story, and make disciples. Help people to follow me. Okay? Now, this is where much humility and understanding is required. Okay? It's going to take a humble heart to lead somebody to Christ or to be there with somebody. Okay? And just understanding. Like, everybody's not going to get there like us, but you know when the Lord has saved somebody. You just know. It is not us who saved. We can't save nobody. We just got a life jacket on. Okay, they drowned, but we got a life jacket on. But we can easily flip out the life jacket in our own, live in our own way. Okay, we saved by His grace. Okay, Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can't save nobody because we couldn't die to death or take the death that Jesus took for our sin. If that was the case, we would be able to save ourselves. But Jesus loved us so much that He came and He bore our sin. And He died for it. He took the wrath of God. Only He was able to take the wrath of God. So this is something to think about. But it is us who get to spread the message on our Lord Jesus' behalf. We get to spread it on His behalf. We get to spread it in His name. We get to spread it for His glory. Let's look at Romans 10:14-16. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? People saying, don't preach. We're supposed to preach. It's sitting right there. And how can someone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Look at your feet. I don't care what your husband said or what your family said about your feet. The Bible says your feet are beautiful. Okay? We have beautiful feet because we share the good news. So we see the Lord Jesus is sending us out to share, tell, and demonstrate the gospel, not faith. Okay? So demonstrate, share, and tell. So what is awesome is that we get to partner with Christ and share His story with those around us. So we get to affect everybody with His gospel. Okay? So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we lead someone to Christ? And then how do we, all this gospel stuff, how do we do this? We must live in the light of Christ and love His light. Remember I said earlier, you're going to love the things of God, love the hate the things of God, hate. We got to love His light. We got to love His truth. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. How do you treat your spouse? Your kids, your parents, your boss, and your coworkers. Do you honor the Lord in private and in public? Our lifestyles influence people's perception of our Lord Jesus Christ when they look at us. Our deeds bring attention to the Lord. When we are at the store, at work, and living our lives, we are living messages of the gospel. This kind of outreach is what the Lord is leading us into so much more than once a year during Catholic Week. He wants us to be true Christians. Christians living out the gospel every day, loving our kids, loving our wives, loving our family, living a lifestyle of Jesus. When someone wants the Lord, okay, that's what I'm talking about too. If someone wants the Lord, as you live your life for Christ as a living message, verbally and physically, okay, not preach words when necessary, because you got to preach and you got to live it. Some people live in it but not preaching it. Some people preaching it but not living it. You need both. Someone may want to know why you live the way you do. This is an opportunity to share the message. What's the message? The gospel. Tell them about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's because He died for me, man. He rose for me. That's why. He took my sin on the cross. Tell them that Jesus wants them to turn from sin to Jesus Christ. I had to turn from my sin. I had to turn to Christ. His grace helped me turn away. That's why I'm like this. Tell them that Jesus wants them to put Him first. Learn His teachings through the Bible. Be baptized to follow the church. He wants you to put Him first. We want you to learn what the Word says, to be baptized, to become part of the church. Stop saying you're a Christian not going to church. Be with some believers. You could be that connection to a church. You. We could be a connection to that church. Encourage them to pray and never stop seeking the Lord. Never stop. No matter how hard it gets, encourage them to keep on praying and seeking the Lord. Make sure they sign a connection card and JLK 365 will contact them. Okay? On the streets, people may ask you why you are showing them kindness. So this is during Calvary. People ask you, why are you doing one thing for me? Why are you giving me this water? Why are you doing, why are you giving me this thing? Why are you not doing all these barbecues? Because Jesus is the Lord and he loves you and he died for your sin. He wants you to turn from him. He wants you to love him back. This is the opportunity to share the message. What attracts people to the Lord is our lifestyle. It's how we live. They'll know us by our fruit, right? His life, his love, his teaching, his ways influence and transforms our lives and makes us shine, shine bright in a wicked, in this wicked and corrupted world. This world is so wicked and so corrupted, and the holiness of Jesus Christ, his power, his goodness, his sanctification, his glory, sets us apart, and we shine just by following him, doing what he said. This is who we are. We are his examples in the earth. Let's point the world to Jesus through the gospel. We need to see Christians actually living out what the Bible says, not making up what the Bible's saying, erasing scripture and saying, I don't mean that. No, just live it. That's how we change people, just living it and preaching it. Amen? Live in him. And I'm closing this. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, it's because of his mercy and his grace, because he loves us so much. Not because of anything that we did. It's because he chose us first. He loves us. He showed us. He gave us what we didn't even deserve to even do. Jesus loved common do. It's by his grace and his mercy that we can have this ministry. So because we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Don't stop following him. I know it's stuff crazy on the news and you see all this stuff happening, but don't lose heart. Oh, no. Rather, because instead of losing heart, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. Throw those things over to the side that's against Christ. Let the word judge you. Let the word rebuke you. Let the word strengthen you. Let the word tell you when you're wrong. Let the word shine its light on our darkness and just receive it. Just throw it away. We do not use deception. We're not using deception when we go out. We throw away the sin in our lives and say, Lord, I just want you. We don't trick people to pray the prayer. We just honest. He hates your sin, but he loves you so much. Nor do we distort the word of God. We not agreeing with people saying about lifestyles nowadays. It's not okay. But he loves you so much. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We just tell people the truth. Tell people what Jesus said. Tell the truth so that everyone's conscience, everyone can stand before God and know that we were told that. And we said what he told us to say, and they heard what he said. So nobody has an excuse. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Some people just not going to receive it. Some people just not going to see. But we can't control that. We just supposed to tell them. Okay? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. So Satan has blinded people, okay, so that they can't even see this beautiful gospel that displays Jesus' beauty, his death. Who is the image of God? God, he represents the Father in the flesh. And some people are not going to see him, and that's okay. Because it's not our job to say, right? For what we preach is not ourselves. We're not preaching Jesus loves Kalamazoo. Jesus loves Kalamazoo, we're not preaching unity, church unity to them, because that's something for us. We're telling them about his death, burial, and resurrection, that he loves them and wants a relationship with him. We don't preach our own church. We don't do none of that. We preach about who he is. Our job is to glorify Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. But Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So for his sake, we serve people with the gospel. Right? We serve people with the gospel. His death, burial, resurrection. That's what sets us apart from everybody else. All the good works ministries and, I mean, all the good works people who, even in this place, you know, we are Christians. We do good works in the midst of preaching the gospel. We don't just do good works. Okay? So, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, may his light shine in our hearts. In hell, we were so dark. That's what we're telling people. He saved us. He died for us. He took our darkness and he put light in us. The only reason why I can even preach this gospel to you is because he saved me. I was dark. I still have darkness in my life, but Jesus is shining on my life now. It is because of his grace and his mercy and his love that I can do this. And he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And that's what we're trying to expose to people. It's the beauty, the beautiful face of Jesus Christ. Him dying on that cross. Him raising from that grave. Him doing those signs, miracles, and wonders. Him appearing to the disciples. That's what brings glory to Jesus. And us living for his glory and his glory alone. No one else but him will give our life for him. That's what it's about. And that's the issue basis. And that's what I live in my heart every time I go out. Because it's not about me. It's so not about me. It's all about Jesus, everything. Just don't make it about you. It is about you, but it's not. It's so about Jesus and what he's doing through you and what he's doing through me and what he's doing through us. Amen? All right.